Amen. You got your Bibles open to Proverbs. Amen.
Amen.
We're all in. I'm sorry, young. Look here. What's that you do? You do what?
I'm putting out something.
I'm putting out a disclaimer. You young people, don't be running around telling your pastor taught you this. Y'all look at me. Look at me. How many hear me? Don't y'all run around telling your pastor taught you this. The church is full of gossips.
Amen.
Big mouth folks that just don't know how to mind their own business.
Amen.
They spend so much time in your business, they forget they got some. And that was not the plan of God. God's plan was for everybody to mind their own business and to go to Him in praise.
Amen.
If you see your brother at fault, to hold him up, lift him up, pray for him.
Amen.
Not discuss his attributes.
Amen.
With other saints.
Come on, Pastor.
What are you talking? I hear it going on all the time.
Yeah.
I've had to remind myself quite a few times this week, Pastor. Firstly, I had to tell myself, shut up. Then you know, the kids waiting for me to say that. That fan is killing me over there. Where that fan at? It's not killing me, but it's disrupting me. Amen. The message is called Shut the Hell Up. That's the name of this message. How many times would you like to tell somebody that? Especially that person that comes sit next to you that you know discussing your life. Or that person sitting behind you that's always got something negative to say. You just want to tell them. The mouth, the tongue, is such an unruly character. What folks fail to realize, what they say with their mouth, what they allow their tongues to say, is actually coming out of their hearts.
Right.
Come on now.
Out of their flesh, out of their spirit. If you got the book of Proverbs, y'all ain't got no enemies in here, do you? Look at your neighbor then. Not your kids, don't y'all say nothing. Look at your neighbor, but you can't look at the babies. I know you want to be telling them that, but you can't, don't look at the babies. Look at your neighbor. Look them square in the eye. And tell them, shut the hell up. In the book of Proverbs, the 9th chapter in the 17th verse, it says, He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuses reproof.
Wait.
I said Proverbs 9. Oh, I'm talking about 10.
Yeah.
I mean 10.
10,
17. I guess y'all listening. I preached the message one Wednesday morning all the way through, and nobody knew I gave them the wrong verse. And I could see folks sitting out there acting like they had the verse. They really didn't have it, but I didn't say that. They just kept turning and looking. I said, they know they're looking at the wrong verse, but if that's all right with them, I'm going to go ahead and preach this word anyway. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof error. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth the slander is a what?
Fool.
In the multitude of words there walketh no sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The hear, what? What does it say?
The heart
of the wicked is a little worth. But lips of the righteous, what does it say?
Amen.
But fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. As long as you control your tongue, you don't have to have no sorrow to your life. He is the way of life. Well, we know that Jesus is the way of life. And when it talks about standing in the way, it's actually talking about when it says, he that is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. If you keep the instruction of God, you won't get in your own way.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I find myself in my way a lot of times.
Amen.
I blame it on others, but it's actually me standing in my way. But he that refuses reproof, erreth. Well, the word refuse means hated, hatred. Or erreth means to lead astray. But he that, how many times have you been led astray by what somebody says? Mm-hmm. You don't have to raise your hand, because the person that did it might be sitting around you. Convince you that turning to the right was the right way.
Yeah.
When you should have went to the left.
All right.
And the other, what? He that hideth hatred with lying lips. How do you hide hatred with lying lips? I love you. Yeah. And you really don't.
Amen.
You actually don't have no love in your heart for them, because they get on your nerves. They found the one that you had hidden deep. And they found it. And they pissed you. And they almost moved you to wrath. They found it. You know what? People will find that nerve if you give them a chance.
Yeah.
Amen. We hide. Stop telling people you love them and you don't. You're hiding your... The word hatred isn't just talking about hatred, but it's talking about your malice towards them.
Right.
Ooh, it's quiet in here. And he that uttereth a slander is a fool. He's not smart like they think they are. In the multitude of words, there wanteth no sin. What it's saying, in the multitude of words, there's no lack of sin. Well, the word sin there is translated the old nature. When folks get to running their mouths, the old nature is in good form.
Amen. Right.
He's in rule. God is trying to get us as a church body, as a whole church, if we don't have anything good to say about one another, to keep our mouths shut. Y'all thought I was going to say it, didn't you? To keep their mouths shut.
Yeah.
If you don't have nothing to say about me, pray.
Amen.
Don't call up Sister Dimity and discuss my problem with her. In actuality, that you really don't know anything about.
Come on now.
You heard.
Come on now. Come on now.
Let me tell you something. I don't believe nothing I heard and very little I've seen.
Amen.
Yeah.
If I don't see doing it for myself, then I don't want to hear it.
Amen.
The Bible tells us we have to guard our hearts with all.
And
it also be broken out. You have to guard your ears.
Amen.
Because what you hear and you go through your ears will affect your heart. Here we hear him talking about, it's talking about, but he that refrains his lips is wise. Sometimes you have to control yourself and keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
There's been some times I want to just go off.
Yeah.
I mean, completely off. And God told me, if you do, you'll be the one that's got to get back. Because they don't go ahead and give you a few choice words and keep it moving.
Amen.
And now you're going to be feeling bad the rest of the day because you messed up.
Amen.
Amen.
It'll get a lot of amens on that. So a lot of folks be messing up.
Amen.
Amen.
What Flip what you say? Loose lips. Sink ships. Folks are sinking ships all over the body of Christ. Because they don't use wisdom and common sense before they speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You have the power to hurt more people than you have to build up.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Come on now.
The tongue of the just is as choice silver. When it's talking about choice silver, it's also translated into redemption.
Yeah.
When you use your tongue to speak good things, encouraging things, uplifting things, the folks that you really don't know what they're going through, but because you want to tell them something encouraging, it helps them. You don't know how people are feeling or what kind of emotional problems they're having, but if you encourage them with the word of God, they'll get lifted up. Because your silver tongue is like redemption. You're letting them know that they have the ability to live and they don't have to die.
Amen.
I like what Mother Harris said. She said, the doctors don't know everything.
You sure, bro?
Amen. I've been to the doctor quite a few times and they told me I had a problem. And when it tells you you have a problem, it affects your whole being. Now, the old man jumps in. He'll cause your life to flash before you. He'll make you see all the negative and the bad and what you're going through. But I got news for you. If you lift up the name of Jesus and you use your tongue to edify him and to glorify him in spite of what you're going through, tell him just how powerful he is, how great he is, how much you appreciate him.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
I got to get through this. I got some more to go. The heart of the wicked is little work. The lips of the righteous, too little. Look at that. Look at them two sentences. The heart of the wicked is little work. The lips of the righteous, many. What is it saying? It's saying that the tares grow right amongst the wheat. That means everybody that lifts their hands and run around and fall on the floor and slobber and spit and step on your toes and shout in tongues don't mean they right with God.
Amen. Amen.
The word heart here is translated into Hebrew mind or character. The mind or the character of the wicked don't have no goodness in it. It's of little worth to anything but themselves. That's why the Bible tells us all the time, be not deceived, God not mocked. Be careful what you sow. It also tells you to come out from among them and be ye separate. We've always attributed that to coming out from among the world and being separate unto God. But what it's saying, you have to separate yourself from people that don't want what you want from God.
Amen.
I don't care if they come to church.
Amen. Come on now.
Most of the folks, Brother Greg, I found out I didn't want to be around with folks in church. Because they don't never have nothing good to say. Always something derogatory. Always something negative. Always something that puts somebody down.
Right.
I got a little phrase now. I tell them, go get. I don't want to hear. You have to make up in your mind that you don't want to let folks put trash in your spirit.
Say that.
But fools die for one wisdom. Not goodness. They want the understanding. But because they've already discouraged themselves, they can't get it. But it says the blessing of the Lord, it does what? Make it rich. You know how you get rich? You get rich in spirit. You get rich in character. You get rich in nature. Because if you spend most of your time lifting up the name of Jesus, you spend most of your time encouraging yourself, letting you know that you can make it through whatever you're going through, letting you know that God is still your healer, letting you know that God is still your way maker. You have to talk to yourself sometimes. Sometimes you have to get in that mirror and convince yourself, I'm better than what they said I am. I'm going to make it through this.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no
sorrow
with it. Pain don't come with your praise. Only the blessing. Amen. Go to the 18th chapter. I mean, it hurt me. The 18th chapter. Proverbs 18 and 20. I got excited. excited when I read this verse, baby. And why you get excited? Did it remind you of somebody? Yeah, me. You know why I got excited? It reminded me of me. And the reason I got excited was the fact that I knew that God had brought me from that state.
Come on now. Come on now.
But I first had to recognize that that's where I was. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. You ever went to, what's that place called? Not Long John Silver, one of them other places with the steaks. What's that one we went to? No, the one that they gave me, that Texas Roadhouse or something. And they brought me that raggedy steak. We went to Logan's. And I got the biggest steak they had in the place, Sister Brenda. I was steak hungry that day. Somebody bless me, so I'll go bless me. I got that big old steak. It was horrible. It was rubber. I mean, they just did not. They didn't prepare it right. So I sent it back. And I think they sent me another one. And it wasn't right. So I said, you know, finally I said, that's all right. Guess what they did? They sent me a raw steak to take and cook myself. But guess what? I didn't eat that steak either when I got home because I had already convinced myself that regardless of who cooked it, it was going to be like the first two. Instead of saying, Lord, my goodness, I got a steak. I know exactly how I want to cook it. I'm going to throw it up, put some seasoning on it, and tenderize this bad boy and throw it on the grill and go have me a good time. Get me a medium well done steak where I can see a little peak and I'm going to be in here with this steak. Didn't happen. Because I had already convinced myself that in spite of the blessing that I had just received, I talked myself out of it. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
We got to stop talking ourselves out of our blessings.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what? We talk ourselves out of our blessings too. Say, for instance, look how crazy this is. I go to Sister Denise and I talk about earnings. And because Sister Denise don't want to get involved and don't say that it's her sister, but she don't want to get involved in it, I assume that she agree with me. When in actuality, she want to take me by my neck and wring it like a chicken. Because that is her sister. Stop letting folks put your sisters and brothers down to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Looking out for each other.
Yes.
A man, a man's belly. Now, don't get it twisted, ladies. Just because it's saying a man, you know, God has no respect to person. There's neither male nor female in God. So you in this boat too. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Whatever your mouth say is what you gonna have. And with the increase of his lips shall be filled. But it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You would think if we realize that the death and life is in the authority, dominion of the words that we speak, we would watch what we say.
Amen.
I got news for you. This old boy, if you get him stirred up, you push him the wrong way, you press up on him, he want to get you off.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen to this. I can only use me because I can't use you. The kids, we have new neighbors across the street from us. Neighbors from... Nevertheless, I thought it was a blessing because they were on the other side of the street. But it's not. They put up a basketball rim, right, in the street. Just so happened where they put it up at, the kids turned our yard into a playground. So we were picking up paper plates that they leave out there, and bottles, plastic bottles, and and all kind of garbage they would leave out there. And then they'd be all on your grass, they'd lay in your grass like they at the park, and you get tired of telling them to get up. So I was sitting there one night, and I was looking at that rim, they left it in the street, and I said to myself, now I'm talking to me, I said to myself, you know what, you got some lighter fluid in the garage. Go get your lighter fluid and pour it all on the bottom of that plastic and melt that sucker, and won't nobody be playing basketball no more today. Now listen to me. I'm telling you what's going on in me. This battle is going on in me because I have gotten fed up. I'm sick of having to say something to the kids. First lady, keep reminding me, remember you were kids once. Like, yeah, but my mother taught us to respect. Respect other people's property. She come out and beat you to death, or the neighbor come out and beat you. So you just as well, right? You get beat by the neighbor, and then she sends you home, and mama beat you too. So I'm sitting there, and I couldn't even sleep. This thing bothered me so much, bro, I couldn't sleep. I want to do something to that rim so bad. The thoughts that were going through my mind and my spirit about what I could do to that rim, and how I had plenty of time to do it because it's about 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody sleep. And I heard the Lord say, go ahead, mess up if you want to. I said, Lord, but they affected me. They affected my sleep. They affected my peace. God said, no, you affecting your sleep. You affecting your peace. So I said, Lord, what do you want to do? He said, why don't you use some other avenues? So after I finally got the mess off my mind, the Lord said, why don't you call some of your buddies? I forgot. I bowled with Detroit policemen, state patrolmen, every part of the police. I bowled with these guys. And they always tell me, Red, if you ever need some help, just give me a holler. Well, I'm trying to figure out how to do this in myself. And then I heard God say, why don't you call on some of them? They always call on you when they need you for something. So I called up one. He couldn't get in. I called this other one up. He said, I got you. So I got something. And I got my phone. I went back home to get my phone. And the Lord said, I'm going to show you something when I was on my way back to get my phone. And I said, yeah, you should show me the rim in the street. As I was pulling off, guess who pulled up? You know that those rims are illegal.
Yeah.
In the street. The problem was, at 10, 11 o'clock at night, there was little bitty boys out there playing in the street, playing basketball with nobody watching them. They use our street as a raceway. I've seen folks go down our street at 60 miles an hour. Got to be. They go down the street so fast, it's a blur. Can you imagine what would happen if those kids are out there playing on that rim and a car goes down the street? They almost run the kids over and they're not out there playing in the street. So he pulls up, he goes over, and he must have told them, you know, he made them take it down, put it in the back. See, they're supposed to take it, but they got blasted because he told them just put it in the backyard. Well, they didn't listen. They put it up, and then they brought it back out that evening. Well, they came back around. And my friend told me, they gave him a nice little ticket. I haven't seen the rim anymore. But see, God told me, if you had to get it your way, you'd have to give up all you knew about me because you would have been in a fight to stay alive. You better use this. That's when you let yourself talk and make decisions. That's going to cost you more than what you could ever imagine. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall do what? Eat the fruit thereof. You can usually tell what type of character a person got from what they say.
Amen. Very true.
Especially if you pay attention to what they're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. We gotta get going. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Scripture says, as a man thinketh. I didn't hear you guys. As a man thinketh, so is he. You ever heard those saying, you are what you eat? You are what you think. If you allow yourself to think your words and convince yourself that you are nothing, you shall be nothing. Mm.
My Lord.
You have the ability to call those things that are not as though they were. Word has to deal with what you need and what you've already expected from God. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 4 and 29. Let no corrupt,
come on now,
rotten, worthless communication or word proceed out of your mouth. When it talks about out, it's talking about it. Reading this talk, it says out of, because it wants you to know that in order for it to get to your mouth, it's got to come from somewhere else.
Right.
It's got to come from your spirit, your soul, your flesh, before it gets to your mouth. Amen. But that which is good to the use of what?
Edifying.
To edification. Also, structure. Somebody has got to stand up and say something good.
Come on now.
About somebody.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm around folks. I bowl quite a bit. I'm around folks that discuss everybody. They talk about how slow somebody is, or how much time they take. Or they should get rid of that ball. How you know what that man should do? We got a teammate that we told him, you need a new ball, bro. He got a 20-year-old ball he's throwing. And he's possibly one of the best lefties in the city. So, at the end of the last season, our franchise holder, we have franchise holders who own our teams. And we bowl for this guy. And they got into it over this ball. Well, he was going to fire him over this ball. So, me and my infinite wisdom, I got us in a tournament where we bowled against First Lady. The men were bowling against the ladies. And I had them two bowling together and they didn't even know it. The one walks up and he says, what's he doing here? The other one said to her, what's he doing here? I said, he here for the same reason you are. They said, what's that? To bowl. But guess who paid the price for that? Great idea. I did. Because they both bowl like bones. They stunk the place up. They bowl so bad the ladies beat us. I am so competitive, I did not want my wife's team to beat my team. But I talked myself into that mess because I called myself doing something wonderful. I know you told me not to do it. I heard you. She said, don't do that, sweetie, that ain't gonna work. It's gonna work. Why? Because I allowed the words in my heart to come off of my mouth and try to make something happen. Something happened, all right. So when we got ready to start back, we noticed he had the same ball. So the other lady, she said, what you gonna do? I said, not a thing. I don't have nothing to say. He can bowl with that ball till Jesus comes back. But see, in the process, he made up in his mind that he wasn't going to let us convince him to get rid of his ball. He has been shooting the lights out with that same old raggedy 40-year-old ball. You can't let people make up your mind to you because of what they say. You better know God for yourself.
Amen.
If you don't know Him for yourself, God forbid. We got to say good things to the edification that we may minister grace unto the hearers.
Yeah.
The word grace is not translated love, but it's translated here joy. How many times do you open up your mouth to talk to somebody and they get joy out of what you're saying? Or they give you that look? Wish they shut the hell up. Anybody will give you that look? I done gave folks that look a lot. But you don't say it. You stand there and you listen. And then you pray that God will give you something encouraging to say before they get to the end of their message. Because it is a message. It's a message they're trying to portray. But you have to cut them off the path. And you have to use wisdom of God to do it. And you have to minister joy to them. We spend so much time siding with folks just to get through it. You know good and well they were wrong. But that's right. That's all you're going to say is that's right. You're not going to add to it. You're just going to say, yeah, that's right. And you're hoping they're going to hear it and finish and get through it. You got to cut folks off the path when they try to minister garbage to you.
Right.
If it don't produce joy and faith and encouragement and peace in your life, shut them up. You don't have to stand there and listen to a bunch of garbage that's not edifying anybody.
Amen.
If you can't say nothing nice,
come on now.
Don't say nothing at all.
Amen.
And that's been one of the biggest problems that saints have, because they think they have a right to say whatever they want to say.
Amen.
We're starting to move right into the category of the Jews. Just because they was God's chosen, they thought they could do whatever they wanted to do.
Right.
And still do. Because it says if you do those things, it says grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It says grieve, the word grieve means to make heavy or to make sorrowful. You know why? Because if you have this spirit in you, you make it sorrowful and you make yourself heavy. Because you have grieved it by allowing corrupt communication to proceed out of your life. Because whereby ye are what? Sealed, stamped, and preserved. You better preserve what God's got going on in your life. You can't preserve it if you don't speak the right thing.
Amen.
Somebody, the scripture says, the money is the root of all evil. I don't think so. That's not what it means anyway.
Right.
But I tell you what does mean it. The tongue is the root of all evil. Because evil represents depravity and lawlessness.
Yeah.
Unto the day of what? Redemption. If you say things of encouragement, that uplift, that build, that manifest, that magnify, you have the ability to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, from within you. Look at some of this stuff. But bitterness, wrath, and anger and clamor or uproar and railing, always making accusations. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, if you don't speak the right words, you'll always be bitter at somebody. You know what my biggest problem was? I found out that I had become bitter with myself. Because I had allowed myself to talk myself spiritually in the situations that I know God never intended for me to be in.
All right.
So I became bitter, angry, full of wrath, clamor, and began to speak evil of the things that I know God had already promised in my life. How did I speak evil of them? Lord, you ain't gonna do it. Father, how long I gotta wait? You know what God? God told me? How long I've been waiting on you? That was the end of that. The word holy is consecrated, blameless. The word ghost means life. So if you don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which is the life that's in you, you don't have to walk around with being bitter and full of wrath and angry at everybody, clamoring, always talking evil. You can have that mess put away from you with all malice, discomfort. We got to make up our minds.
Come on
now. You know that simple scripture? Choose you this day whom you go serve.
Yes.
You need to look in the mirror and tell yourself, shut the hell up.
Amen.
Lorraine, I've been telling myself, shut up all week. Every time I get ready to say something, I think of, man, I'll shut up. I tell myself, shut up. You got no business saying that. You don't even know if it's true. Don't even say it. Let it go. I'm closing with this verse. Go to 1 Peter 3. We got to get some stuff done. We got to take, you know, you put them in rolls right where I need to go. There it goes. You know what we tend to do? We tend to fight back the wrong way. Somebody else will come and say, you know you don't have to take that. You don't have to put up with that garbage. Go ahead and get them straight. Tell them. So now you know and you don't want to tell them, really. You want to let it go. But now in your mind, Greg, you're always thinking, I need to go ahead and set them free. I need to make this happen. They got on my nerves. They pushed me the wrong way. I don't have to let them keep pushing me. But the ninth verse of the third chapter says, did I say the third chapter? All right, amen. Not rendering what?
Evil.
But lawlessness being this. Where is this? All these folks going around shooting up their businesses. And they call them disgruntled employees. Or killing their girlfriends or their wives because they don't want to live. Don't kill them, kill yourself.
Right.
Well, go someplace, leave.
Right.
Yeah. They assume that they're rendered, well, she did me bad, so I'm going to do her bad. Dear God, she didn't kill you.
Right.
We got to stop giving folks back bad things, lawlessness, because they've done us bad.
Come on now.
If you can't get through it, stay up around them.
Amen. Amen.
Because the moment you start rendering evil, lawlessness, or depravity, or ungodly thoughts and ideas and words back to them, it's going to come back to you another way.
Right.
I tell folks all the time, the victory ain't on the other side of the battle. The victory is in the middle of the battle.
Right.
Amen.
I found out, evangelist, I got victory when I learned to control my tongue.
Yes.
When I can control my tongue, I can control my thoughts.
Yeah.
When I can control my thoughts, I can control my ideas. When I can control my ideas, Pastor Keith, I realize something. I've changed principles in my life.
That's right.
You know, we go to church and we expect a word to change us. You got to change. Because when you leave out of here, that's where you're going to meet all the trouble at. Folks up in church only want to love you whether they love you or not. Folks out in the street don't care. You get some saints out in the street, they'll show you what they made of. But God don't want to surrender evil for evil.
That's right.
Or rarely. or insult. How many times you been insulted? So you decide to insult? And it went on and on. You know what we used to do when we were kids? Your mama this. Your mama that. Your brother's this. Your brother that. By the time you get through throwing insults, guess what you was doing? Throwing fists. Baby, please. You think people don't fight in church? They do. They get to insult one another, they get to fight. Don't matter. You got to control yourself. Knowing that ye are there to call that ye should inherit a blessing. If you know that God is blessing you, you got to curtail your thoughts. You got to curtail your mouth.
Say that.
Right.
Say
amen.
That.
Amen.
You know, we tend to say, I'm gonna bless them out. Yeah. What's blessed about you going off on them? What's blessed about that? Ain't nothing blessed. If you ain't gonna give them a real blessing, shut the beep up. I can't say it no more. Shut the bleep up. I was looking at this guy the other day, and he complained about everything. And I wanted to tell him so bad, man, you need to shut the... But you know what I did, Pastor Anise? I got my headsets, and I put them on my head, and I showed him that I could care less about that garbage that you're talking about.
Amen.
Guess what I did when I did that? I freed myself.
Right, right.
Amen.
Amen.
I couldn't call Jesus. I need you to come to the bone alley and free me. I had to free myself.
Yes.
You have to get control of your tongue.
Yeah.
Especially if you know that it has life and death in it. Yeah. You have the ability to speak life into somebody's life, or you can speak death into their life. And one scripture that we need to say that saints ain't standing on, ain't thinking about, touch not my anointed. That's one thing.
Come on now.
Who are the anointed of God? Folks that's going to accept Jesus as their personal Savior and have Him in it because He is the anointed one.
Say that. Amen. Amen.
And you really better keep your mouth off His prophets.
Come on now, man.
If you don't like what Creflo doing, don't watch it.
Amen.
You don't like what Pastor didn't say, don't listen.
Amen.
You have a choice in the matter. I know I got a blessing coming, so I'm not going to let you keep me from getting it.
Amen.
For he that will love life, he that will desire life, and see good days, he is the one that will refrain his tongue.
Yeah.
Yep. The only good thing that can come from my tongue is edifying God, glorifying Him, encouraging people, whether they be of God or not.
Yeah.
Letting them know that Jesus is alive and well.
Amen.
So I have to refrain my tongue from evil. When it talks about evil, it talks about depravity. When it talks about depravity, I have to refrain. I cannot allow my old nature to control my tongue.
Amen.
Because if I allow my old nature to control my tongue, God gets no blessing, no glory from
Amen.
It.
Say that.
And if God's not getting no glory from what you're saying, then you ought not be saying it.
Amen.
It says, refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no God. Now that sounds like it just separated both of them, no. How could it possibly separate both of them? Because it wants you to understand, it's talking about the tongue now as a part of your being. If you read about the tongue back in Proverbs and a lot of other scriptures, it tells you that the tongue is actually its own person. I have gotten so upset, so angry with folks. I can feel my tongue wagging in my mouth, mother. But I refuse to let my lips open to let it out. But I still had to repent because I'd already thought it. That they speak no God. Deceit. A lot of pastors and preachers ought to hear that. Deceiving the people of God. And you know what the problem is? If we deceive you, we'll deceive somebody else.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Because if we lie to you, you'll go tell somebody else that same lie. That's why we have to keep it real.
Amen.
Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are, listen to me, for the eyes of the Lord are all over the righteous. And his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The power of God is against folks that always got something negative, destructive, agonizing, sorrowful to say. Not just about others, but even about themselves. You know that 90% of suicides happen because folks have convinced themselves that their lives are worthless.
Yes.
They don't need no help. They sit in their rooms by themselves and convince themselves that their lives are worthless. I will never not allow my tongue or my lips to break me down again and make me miss out on what God has promised me. I didn't need any help. I found a way to do it all by myself. I sat there and I talked to myself. Now when I talk, as great as the Lord, worthy is he to be praised. Guy showed up, was that Wednesday? Where I was talking about the park, paving the parking lot. He went to throwing out scriptures from Hebrews.
Yep.
About the time the Lord got wound up in me, he ran. That man jumped in his truck. I'm still yelling at him. He's just driving. He just don't want to talk no more about Hebrews. He made the mistake of making a statement, I'm trying to do all I can do because Jesus is getting ready to come shortly. And he made the big mistake of saying in 2016. You don't believe that, Pastor? I want to tell him, shut up. But I decided to tell him a truth. Sir, look at the people of God. Look at the church as a whole. And you tell me if you think Jesus can come back and wrap us in the shape by January. Or do you think we ourselves are going to interfere with him doing just that? He was gone. Rodney was laughing by now. Probably said, him just don't know. Watch what you say. Be careful of your words. Because somebody's going to be hurt by it. If what you have to say isn't going to encourage them or make them feel better about themselves, people come to church for a reason. They come to church because they're discouraged. They're broken. They can't see a way out. They need to hear from God. And a lot of times they don't get to hear what they need from the pulpit. They hear what they need from you.
Yeah.
And an encouraging word.
Come on now. Come on
good
now.
Good to see you. How have you been?
Yeah.
I miss you. I love you. God's got you. God's going to strengthen you. God is still a healer.
Yeah.
Those words that they get when they walk in the doors, those are the words of encouragement that they can hear, that they can know that the battle is not theirs alone, but it belongs to God. And they got people standing in the gap and praying for them.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
We've got to change our speech. The Bible says, speak the same things and mind the same principles. We'll never mind the same principles until we first start speaking the same thing. And we can't speak the same thing if some of us are railing on things. There's a whole lot of things I can say. You have to make up your own mind. You know what I found out? I come to the conclusion, as long as I can make me shut the beep up, I don't have to worry about telling you to shut the beep up. Because whatever you say is not going to affect or influence my life. Because I found a way into the throne room. And you know how the way is keeping my mouth shut. And only letting things come out of it that edify God.
Amen.
Or encourage and strengthen the people of God. If it's not doing that, then you're missing God.
Siliando bo kositi ata mikiaba iliobo sikiandoro bo kosi iliaba ikobo sando siliobo kosika sando mo koiaba ilobo sando asakiha. Know ye not that this is still the day of the Lord? And one must choose. The choice is before you. Choose thee this day whom ye shall serve. Understand that whom that ye yield your members to, that is your master. Y'all shall love the one and cleave to the other and hate the one and despise the other. The choice is yours. Those that choose me, they are the ones who are able to keep the power that I walk with in front of them and in them, walking in this power, the power of self-control, that you don't yield your members unto flesh, that you don't yield your members unto destruction, but you yield your members unto me, for I'm the righteous one, and I've called you out and set you apart for my use. Therefore, let no communication that is not by me come forth from your being, for it comes forth from the inside. I have placed myself within you to help you battle, but the choice is yours. The power is mine, but the choice is yours, saith the Lord, to do evil or to do good. I'm here to help you to do good, but choose me and ye shall live. Choose me and ye shall prosper. Choose me and ye shall overcome, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory. My brother and I grew up in a household where we hated the weekends, where we hated the holidays, because on those specific times, our parents would get hollered and cussed each other out, which always led to fist fights. Always. So when most kids were looking forward to Thanksgiving and Christmas, we were not, because we already knew what was going to take place. And we knew that sooner or later we were going to have to choose sides. Because I had determined in my heart that I was no longer going to let my father beat on my mother. My mother outsmarted us all. She gave her heart like a God. And she started going to church. She came down on the usher board. All kinds of stuff she was doing in church. She kept herself busy for God. So when he decided he wanted to argue, it takes two people to argue. But she kept her mouth shut. He had no one to argue with, so he left. There is somebody in your life, not trying to get you to fight with them, but trying to provoke you to anger. The reason they're trying to provoke you to anger with their words is because it makes them feel good and it makes you look just as bad as they do. But But you have to control yourself. There's only one way you control yourself, and that's through Christ. You've got to let the Word of God manifest itself in your life. And I guarantee you, God will speak to your mind. He'll speak to your heart and your spirit.
Yes, he will.
So that he can bring you to peace.
Yes, he will. Hallelujah.
What is that scripture? I forgot what, but it's slow to anger.
Swift to hear and slow to
anger. But you get the drift of it. Amen. How many of us in here are slow to speak? Did you raise your hand, first lady? Everyone stand. She is. She's a combo of 22 of us.